Welcome, everybody, to the Wednesday Women's Bible Study. Tonight, we have all four of us here again. Anne, welcome.
Hi, everyone. Good to be back.
Karen, how are you?
Good evening, everybody.
And Megan.
Hello, everyone.
I hope you all are doing well.
Speaking for myself, I am doing well.
Good.
Me too.
Well, thank you all for joining us, and we're, as you know, going through the Walking in the Spirit seminar, which is on the fishermanministry.org website. I hope people will take advantage of it on a personal level. We're actually finishing up the three baptisms for believers. Last week we looked at into Christ and his body at repentance and the new birth and water baptism after one is saved. And tonight we look at spirit baptism. So Anne and Karen, I know you all were without electricity, I think, last week. Is that what was going on?
Yeah, that's what happened. So we didn't have internet or anything last week.
Yeah. I didn't know if you all had anything before we moved on that you'd like to share, that in particular on those first two baptisms, whether it was spoken or not. It's important stuff.
No, neither one of us have anything to add to it.
Okay. Well, the third one is spirit baptism. And I know everybody that's up in the chat is well aware of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which was not only promised, but well documented in the Bible. And as this says, it is the endowment of power for service. So, it is the gift that God has given us so that we can walk in the kingdom of God and operate in God and in his power. It's the equipment he has given us by which we can represent him or walk in this world and manifest him. It's an important baptism. It is the one that preceded Jesus's going forth, though he obviously walked in wisdom and in knowledge before it, but he did not, his ministry began, with basically when he went and, was baptized first by John, but then John gave testimony, which I think we're going to read tonight, of, the spirit baptism that he witnessed of Jesus. So, following along on this, it says it can take place before water baptism or after it. And they give us a few examples. The before water baptism is Acts 10, verses 44 through 48. And as we all are probably getting really familiar with, it is Cornelius, the Gentile, whom God had sent Peter to minister the gospel to, but God in his sovereignty then baptized Cornelius and all those who had come and received the word at Peter's mouth in the Holy Spirit, something Peter did not know was for the Gentiles, and yet God manifested it. So, and this took place, as we'll see, before water baptism. If Karen, if you would read it, Acts 10, 44 through 48.
While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water, that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days.
Okay. So I don't know if anybody has anything to add to that. It's a well-known scripture and testimony to each of us. So open the floor to you guys.
The mute wouldn't go off for some reason. But I know we've probably discussed it before, but Peter and probably all the apostles at that time did not realize that the gifts from God, the salvation, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, were for Gentiles. And their ministry primarily up to that point were to Jews. And God very, very openly showed by pouring out the Holy Spirit on Cornelius and his household that it was for all. It wasn't just for a select few, that it was for all. And like Peter said, how can we deny them water baptism now that they have received the Holy Ghost just as we, the Jews, did?
Amen. It's an important point because we know that they had a prejudice. I mean, it's natural prejudice. And the Jews, of course, had been God's people from the time of Abraham. And they didn't understand that God was available for all, even though there were many throughout their history who were from other tribes who accepted God as their God on his terms. And of course, Jesus was the fulfillment of God's terms when he was sacrificed on that cross. But it's also the point that these the Jews had such a struggle with, the fact that Jews and Gentiles alike, in Christ, there was no difference. And that entrance into Christ wasn't due to anything other than faith in the sacrifice of what Jesus did on that cross.
Amen. And that's all that matters, is the faith that we have in Jesus and that sacrifice he made on the cross.
Yeah. That's our reconciliation, period.
In verse 44 there, it says, the Holy Ghost fell on, I'll read the whole thing, because the whole verse is. While Peter yet spake these words, so he's telling them about what the gospel is, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Of course, you know, I say, just to point out something that might be obvious, that doesn't mean they listened to the words. It meant they actually heard it. They received it as true and believed it. And
that's an important point. Absolutely. I'm glad you picked up on that, Megan. It is a matter of having received it. They received the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God, in his sovereignty, showed his acceptance of them through that. It can take place before water baptism. Now we have some where it takes place after water baptism. And the first one is Acts 1:4-8. And Megan, we're going to have you read this one. If you and Karen can take turns, I would appreciate it.
Okay.
So, Acts 1:4-8.
And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth.
So here we have the testimony of Jesus of that which was yet to come. And you notice here that this baptism in the Holy Ghost was so that they would be endued with power to be witnesses and manifest him even as he had manifested God. They were going to now go do the same thing through the gospel. And that is really the purpose of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, that we might walk and do that which he did to the glory and testimony of God. I guess one little thing I'd add there is it's bestowed upon people that are no different than anybody else, because the gospel, even as we kind of saw with Cornelius, is not a respecter of persons. It's for anybody. The great, the lowly, the do-gooder, the do-badder. Everybody needs the gospel. And he takes men and women who will believe him, take him at his word, and then he endues them with power that they might go forth in that power to give mighty testimony of that salvation which God has wrought for all who would believe. It's not a matter of being good. It's a matter of believing. And it's not a matter of being feeling capable. It's a matter of believing. The Spirit is what gives us that capability, if we'll but believe. So the next one is Acts 2:1-11, and this is the fulfillment of what we just read. Karen, if you would read this one.
And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and the strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God.
I don't know if any of you have anything to say. I'm kind of at a loss for words for some reason.
One thing, the people over the years that I've heard talk, that each individual who had been baptized in the Holy Spirit was speaking tongues, was speaking a different language that these people heard. But that's not what the scripture said. Every man heard everyone speaking their language. Excuse me.
That's a good point.
It wasn't just individuals speaking a language. Everyone was speaking, basically speaking tongues, but everyone was hearing their own language in that. And that, to me, is a miracle.
And that was lots of different languages. That's a lot of different peoples there.
Mm-hmm. So it wasn't just a miracle that they were speaking in tongues. It was a miracle in what was heard.
Well, and on this baptism of the Spirit, because you notice that what they spake was the wonderful works of God. And immediately we see Peter's first sermon after having been baptized in the Spirit. And, you know, I mean, you see the power of the Spirit, because this wasn't the Peter we knew just 2 months beforehand, so to speak, at the trial and crucifixion of Jesus Christ. This was a new Peter who's now filled with the power of God and with the knowledge and wisdom of God to be able to bring forth a word perfectly spoken so that the hearers would be brought unto repentance and salvation. The next one is Acts 8, 12 through 21. Megan, if you would read this one.
Sure. But when they believed Philip preaching the good things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God.
So here we see where that Holy Spirit baptism came after these people accepted Christ, were baptized in the blood, were then baptized in water, and now when the apostles heard that the Samaritans had received the word of God, they went down and laid hands on them, and they then received the Holy Ghost. And we see here where there's one guy who thinks he could buy the power that the apostles walked in. And you see, again, Peter in clarity and singleness of speech by the Holy Spirit speak pretty heavily to that man. And we know that that man, if you read down further, was shaken because he asked for Peter to pray for him. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, and the Holy Spirit is able to bring it even as Peter brought it.
Okay, one thing that to me is obvious in this, and to me it's really clear, you had Philip there. He preached the gospel to these people. And they had the water baptism. But then nothing happened after that until the apostles showed up and laid hands on them for them to receive the Holy Spirit. So it's an example here of how we are to receive the Holy Spirit, and that is the laying on of hands of the apostles.
Yeah. Yes, Philip did not have the power or the to baptize in the Spirit. He was not an apostle.
Right.
Yeah, the wonderful thing that happened is verse 14, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word, they sent unto them the more perfect answer. They sent unto them the opportunity of having the power of the Lord as well, which otherwise they would have been lacking. But they knew they needed it, and they sent it to them, which is a wonderful thing.
Yes. And part of their responsibility to do just that But the other thing that's kind of interesting here too is the Samaritans, when the Samaritans received, they now were forward to go and bring that gift of the Holy Spirit, that completion of that which God has for his people. Because the Samaritans were like a mixed breed, were they not?
Yes, I think they were. They were sort of the black sheep.
Yeah. So you can kind of see the fruit at this point from that testimony that Peter and others were witness to when Cornelius, who wasn't even partially a Jew, he and those who heard received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now they're forward and they understand and they go forth because, as you said, they were the ones that God called to impart it. They had to go to bring it to them. And they were forward to do so when they heard that they had received the gospel at Philip's preaching.
Yep. Something else is Jesus talks several times about the fact that he's sent to the Jews. And that's not to the exclusion of Gentiles, because we see him minister to Gentiles who came to him or who his father took him to as individuals. But his main ministry was those who were Hebrew, those who were Jew. But here in Acts, you're seeing right there on the day of Pentecost, I'm pretty sure not all those people there in chapter 2 were like believers, if you will, on the Jewish faith. And so you're seeing how now there's just this burst of the Lord's, everything that has happened being just exploded for absolutely everybody. And the apostles kind of walking in that as they have been given the power to do.
You know, having thus said it, it was Paul that through whom the gospel really came to the Gentiles.
Yes.
And one of the things was so beautiful about Paul's service to God and to all is that he understood fully the simplicity of the gospel for Jew and Gentile alike, and would not be moved from it. Something that we know the other apostles struggled to embrace at times. But Paul, that's what he said at the end of his conversation. He had kept the faith, and the faith is that Jesus Christ, our only reconciliation, our only entrance into a right standing with God, was through the sacrifice of Jesus. There is nothing else that can add or take its place or anything. And Paul would not be moved from that. And he was zealously faithful to minister the gospel. He was the one whom God called to minister the gospel to the Gentiles. But he did minister it to the Jews first. I mean, also, because you see him always going into synagogues, and he loved the Jews. I mean, that's why he had a hard time turning his back on them, so to speak, because he loved them. They were his people. But Paul's the one who would not mix the gospel with anything and did not have a prejudice against anyone. A good example for all of us. Acts 19, 1 through 7.
And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them,
Have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12.
Well, and this is a familiar one to us, too, because we know these people who Paul came across were the fruit of Apollos' ministry, who himself didn't know. And in the previous chapter, we know that disciples of Paul had, it says, expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. But Paul then comes across these people whom Apollos had ministered the gospel to in accordance with his understanding, and he then perfected their knowledge and then laid his hands on them, and they received that inheritance, that baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you see the fruit of it where they spoke in tongues and prophesied. It was an immediate testimony of the Holy Spirit in and through them, not dissimilar to chapter 2. So, did you guys have anything you wanted to say on that?
We don't have anything to add, I don't believe, Robin.
Well, I'm not sure in the chat. Certainly Jesus came to the Jews. But we know, if you go back in Israel's history, that there were always Gentiles who became Jews, so to speak. And it actually even uses that term in the book of Esther, where there were many who became Jews. That's what it says if you go back and read it. So we know Ruth was a Gentile. We know Rahab was a Gentile. We know there were people that came with the Jews out of Egypt under Moses. There have always been Gentiles who recognized the God of Israel as the only true God and walked the same faith as those who were Israel by birth.
The thing is, though, when there were Gentiles that did accept and walk with God, as you gave examples of ones that have, but they took up the Jewish faith.
Yes.
And here God's showing that you didn't have to become a Jew in order to believe and receive his blessings.
That's a really good point. And I mean, in a way, the Jewish faith always looked to Christ, because we know that, I think it's Hebrews 4, where he said they did not mix the gospel with faith. Isn't that how he put it? It's, the gospel's always been, it says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. The faith has always been the same. But you're right, the Jews were stuck on really legalism, and thought that they were, you know, special, really. And the gospel unspecialized everybody. There's nobody special. We're all on the same standing.
Well, in Acts 15, there were men there who had accepted Jesus and were baptized in the Holy Spirit, I imagine, who were trying to put all the laws of the Jewish people onto the Gentiles when they accepted Jesus. And it came down, it was James, I believe, who said, no, it's only four things that they have to do. and that is abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. That was it. They didn't have to follow any of the laws. You know, like the Sabbath and keep, you know, the Sabbath and, you know, they couldn't work on the Sabbath. And all
and the traditions also.
All the traditions that were put on the people. So it was very clear that in order to be a follower of Jesus, you didn't have to be under the law of Moses.
Yeah. Well, and to follow Jesus, you have to come out from under the law of Moses. Period. Jew or Gentile. You know what I'm saying? It was what the Jews so struggled with, was that as though there was value.
Their faith was kind of based on works.
Yes.
And here, Jesus has been very clear throughout his word that works don't mean anything. It's faith.
And you stop and think what the Pharisees so hated about Jesus is he didn't put on a good show. You know, he ate with publicans and sinners. And he even said, you know, John came one way, I come the other. And no matter what, which way the Lord, God's people come, they're just not acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus came eating and drinking. John came not eating and drinking. And that was the thing. And we know that the end of the apostles' testimony was just the simplicity of the gospel. What I'm saying? Salvation by grace. It's Peter who said, you know, that you hope to the end for the grace that will be brought unto you. No longer was there any kind of keeping of anything by which one could have a hope of salvation. It was solely because of the sufficiency of the blood that brought that grace that makes up the difference.
We can't earn it.
No.
And that's
no.
where a lot of people have a problem. They want to be able to say they earned it.
Right.
And Jesus says, no, my sacrifice was enough. There's nothing you can do to earn it.
The other part of that that I think we struggle with is people want to see that, you know, I mean, it's a walk of faith, not sight. So you're never going to be able to be buoyed by how everything you do is right and how always, you're always this, that, and the other thing and how you can always pat yourself on the back, so to speak. It's a walk of faith. It's one where we have to actually believe the Word of God and believe that, you know, when it says, I am able to do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, that we walk in that knowledge, notwithstanding what we see, how we feel, what we did yesterday. Because it is a struggle to walk simply because you believe God. We like to feel like there's some evidence. You know what I'm saying? It's just ingrained in our nature, and it is something we just really have to put off. It is a matter of choosing to believe him, and it's not a thing of sight.
Yeah, not to believe that natural man, because usually when you think things are looking pretty good, that's when things are not good at all.
Or when you think that there's no hope for you because you think you're pretty bad. You know what I mean?
Same thing. Yep.
It all comes down to pride.
Yeah.
And unbelief.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Not believing in the sufficiency of what Jesus did for us.
Well, and it goes back to what God said, Abraham believed God. And it was accounted unto him as righteousness. He took God at his word. And you see that testimony when Isaac said, Father, I see the wood and I see the fire, but I don't see the sacrifice. And Abraham said, God shall supply, provide himself a sacrifice.
Yes.
A lamb for the sacrifice. Abraham believed God. That's what we got to do, take him at his word. But our own understanding can interfere with that. I mean, I think we all find ourselves there at times. I certainly wouldn't pretend to say I don't know that one.
I have my hand up.
But we can overcome it by understanding and choosing, notwithstanding what the word says. So it says here, the Holy Spirit is the agent to baptize into Christ and in his, into his body. Now, before we get into this, we understand, I hope, that we've just looked at three baptisms. The one is the blood that was shed by Jesus on that cross, which is paid the price for our sins. And then we have water baptism, whereby we die unto ourselves and we believe the word of God, that the Holy Spirit then translates us from this body of death that we live in, that our sin dwells in, into his body, so that now we're washed clean. And now the Lord, because we dwell in fleshly bodies that are not redeemable, he gives us place in his body until the day that we are in heaven and have new bodies. And then we have, then he endows us with his spirit by which we can then walk in that, in his power. So now we're looking at the agents, so to speak, by which these are done. So it says here, the Holy Spirit is the agent to baptize into Christ and into his body. It is the Holy Spirit that we trust translates us into the body of Jesus Christ. And the scripture is 1 Corinthians 12:13.
Is it my turn?
I think so.
Okay.
Who's reading?
Megan.
For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit.
Yep. So this is where there is no Jew and there is no Gentile in the body of Christ. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You might be a Jew by birth or a Gentile by birth, but in Christ we're all one.
Yes. His children.
Yeah.
Saved by the same blood, the same gospel.
Yeah. Yeah. And equal. There's no respecter of persons in God. Did you guys have anything you wanted to say on that one?
No, I can't think of anything.
So, Karen, Christ is the agent to baptize in the Holy Spirit. So we have two scriptures here. They're both found in the Gospels. The first one is Matthew 3:11.
I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
Yep. And this, of course, is the testimony of John the Baptist. And it was one of the things that Jesus said to his disciples, you know, I have to go so I can send you the Comforter. It was part of the inheritance that Jesus, upon his death, gave to believers. And the other one is also John the Baptist's testimony. And it is John 1:31-33.
Is that me, Robin?
And you could actually read 30 there, Karen.
This is he of whom I said, after me cometh the man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah. I particularly love this testimony that John gives here because you see the purpose of John. He came to manifest who the Son of God was, Jesus. And you see here where he gives testimony to how God told him he would know. John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he then sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Jesus is the agent to baptize in the Holy Spirit. And then Megan, Matthew 28, verse 19.
Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
And this one is under the minister is the agent to baptize into water. And that's, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. There is a really good sermon that Davey gave on this verse. And I'll tell you, it was, September 29th. Of 2013. It is worth going back and listening because it is an important thing to understand, both so that when we minister rightly, but also so that we know what it is that we stand and walk in. How can we believe something we don't know? So I suggest that people go to the fishermanministry.org on the Sunday Texas services for those who are listening at a later date and listen to the September, 29th, 2013 service. And Davey very clearly ministers, on this particular scripture. So I don't know if you guys had anything you wanted to add to that one. Before we move into the gifts of the Holy Spirit?
If I'm mistaken, please correct me, but I believe this is the only place where it says baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
They baptize in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus is the name of God. They didn't have a name for him before. There were many descriptions, like Jehovah Jireh, God that gave
Elohim.
Yeah, what I say to Jehovah Jireh. The I Am. Jehovah. You know, there's just so many descriptive names for God, but he didn't have a personal name until Jesus.
Right. The name wasn't revealed. Because I think it was Moses who said, who shall I say sent me? You know, and he said, tell him I am. But you're right. Jesus... It is one God, his name is Jesus, and he has been since the beginning. In the beginning was God, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word, let me read it. You'd think I'd just be able to throw that one out, but yes, that's an important point. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and we know Jesus is the Word. But that name wasn't given until Jesus came on the earth. But it does, in Davey's sermon, it does talk about the fact that of the three baptisms and the baptism of the Father being the baptism of blood, because the Father's the Savior and Jesus was the sacrifice. And in the name of the Son is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which we just spoke about, Christ being the agent to baptize in the Holy Spirit. And the name of the Holy Ghost is the baptism of water, whereby we by faith believe that we are translated into his body, where we dwell. But one baptism, and you're right, one God, and his name is Jesus. That was a good point. Thank you.
You're back now. We lost you for a minute. We're in the middle of a thunderstorm, and our electric just went off and then came back on. So we're back again. So we kind of missed what you said there. But
I know you know it, so praise God. So we're going to, I think we'll just do, unless you all wanted to just look at starting this next week, we're going to go into the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're found distinctly in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 10. Maybe what we'll do is just look at them starting next week. I'll just read them through. Their word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing. So if people want to kind of read up ahead of time and, you know, and prayerfully read, and it will be even more profitable then when we join together and take a look at them beginning next week.
Rob, there are more?
There are more what?
There are more gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Well, hold on. I was actually not reading from 1 Corinthians.
If you turn the page, it's in there. Working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, diverse kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues.
Well, thank you.
Short list that Robin gave there.
Well, thank you, Megan.
Yeah. It's nice to be a good study, starting that one next week.
Yeah.
If people have an opportunity, go look it up. You know, like Robin said, you can find the teaching at thefishermanministry.org. You can find this teaching and study it before time, and then come with your questions.
You know, I remember years ago, and I remember it distinctly in Vermont, and when you and Davey lived up here, but it probably was true in Maryland, too. That's a further back memory. But I remember that oftentimes in a Bible study, that which Davy spoken was a second testimony to me. I knew it was true. And it is a good thing to come and know the Word and read the Word. And, you know, it's by two or more witnesses that anything is established. And not only doctrinally, but also in us. Right?
Right.
So, it's important to, for each of us to do our part.
Amen.
So, let us do so.
The only way we can do that, though, is if we know the Word. And that is by taking time to read the Word, pray over the Word, meditate over the Word. Then we can be that witness.
Yep. Amen. Well, and let's keep each other in prayer, you know, that we might grow together and exhort one another.
Amen.
It's people that the Lord is calling us to be. Alrighty. Well, thank you, ladies, for joining and all that came. May the Lord bless you all this week.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, all.
Good night, everyone.
Please keep us in prayer. We've got this major thunderstorm hitting us, just starting to hit us, and pray that we stay safe through it.
Amen.